Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker based in the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when the public and public spaces meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? So it's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things. Or bits.
Or bats.
Oh, or bats, yes.
I had a bat this week.
How fantastic.
I know. I mean, the story would be slightly better if I'd found the bat within the cinema. I found the bat on the street outside the cinema. And it hung out in the office for a day. And then I released her in the evening. And off she went, I hope.
What did you call the bat?
The bat was called Nora. And I'll let listeners draw their own conclusions. You have to be of a certain age, I think. But she was great. Mary's terrified of bats. Refused to go in the office for the entire time that the bat was in there.
Oh, God, they're beautiful.
But she was very sweet. She sat in a box for a little while. And then I put her on some foliage on a wall. And then half an hour later, she was gone. So I'm choosing to believe that she flew away and was completely fine.
Nothing else could have happened.
So yeah, this week has been bats, not bits. Although there have been bits because it's still the school holidays. So there's been plenty of bits as well. But nothing as noteworthy as a bat. Right. Our frequently asked question this week, again, is more of a frequently commented thing. And it's a conversation that I think is going to make me sad. It's okay. About behaviour in cinemas.
It's not my fault. I didn't do it.
Has it got worse? And if it has, why? Venues in general as well. To start us off, when you've been on stage, have you had any notable unruly audience members?
Years ago, it's 2003 or 2004. No, I think it was 2004. I had two shows running at the Edinburgh Fringe. And the place where I was doing the second show, so it was One Man Rant was the second show, was a small cabaret bar in the bottom of a hotel on the North Bridge in Edinburgh. And Ellen is doing yoga in the background here to sort her sore back out. I could just see her disappearing off screen.
I thought I was doing it subtly. I'm still listening.
Your poor back. No, don't worry.
It's because of all the bits that I've been picking up.
Your chakras need to be in aligned. Anyway, this venue, this one man show, it was just me on stage, and I had a whole 3 weeks of the run, 3.5 weeks of the run to do. And I remember it was the smoking. You could still smoke in public places at that point, if I remember rightly. And there was one show where there was a guy just smoking in the middle of this thing, and there was no ashtrays out. There was nothing out. It's like, so he just decided to have a cigarette in the middle of this show, and it was like. Oh, and I was like, because I had, you know, weeks to do, so I was like, sorry, mate, could you put your fag out? Is that all right? Thanks very much. I don't want to knack in my voice. And he did, and then he got up and left.
Oh, no.
And it was like, oh.
His cigarette was more important than your performance.
Yes, well, it was a very depressing episode, but that was the worst I've had, I think. I think that was the worst.
Yeah. I've been in the audience of a play in London, Damian Lewis in The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, Edward Albee.
Yeah.
Wow.
And somebody's phone went off a couple of times, and the second time that it went off, Damian turned to the audience and asked the person to turn it off in quite a scary manner. And everybody applauded, and it was fine. But then I was so anxious, I couldn't enjoy the play because I was just worried that somebody else's phone was going to go off, or my phone was inexplicably going to go off, even though I silence it, turn it off, put it on Do Not Disturb, and usually leave it at home as well.
Yeah.
Marketing for musicals has taken a turn. Do you remember that there was a story from, I think it was Edinburgh?
Oh yeah, the Playhouse Theatre. It was a hen party at the Playhouse.
Right. And since that, there's been talk of marketing moving away from this musical will have you dancing in the aisles, or it's the biggest party in town. They're moving that slightly away to try and remind people that they're not there to
jump up and down,
go completely riotous, which is a big old shame that people do behave like that.
Apparently one of the things in a lot of musicals when you go to them now, people are just singing them. It's well, like a sing-along is lovely, which is, you know, a sing-along is a really nice thing, but that's a sing-along version of something. Whereas if you've paid through the teeth to go and see the latest version of, I don't know, Twang, say, it's like, oh no, I really wanted to hear good old Robin Hood.
So. Jukebox musicals must be particularly bad for that sort of thing, because you've... Everybody knows the music, so you've got somebody sitting next to you going...
Oh, do you know, I just remember, whenever I hear about Sunshine on Leith, which was a very successful Scottish one, I always remember being on a bus going to the Glasgow airport one time, and I got off at coming up from Goodick over to the airport, and I remember this... this couple of drunk sisters, I think they were, and it was kind of midday, and they were absolutely blittered, and they were singing, I'm on my way from misery to happiness, and one would go, aha, the other would go, aha, so it went, aha, 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 and it was, it was fantastic, but awful, awful at the same time. It was just great.
Hilarious, so, for 3 minutes, and then the...
But not from Port Glasgow to Paisley Gilmore Street.
I read an article about this sort of, and there's a few examples of when actors have turned on the audience.
Ooh, yeah.
Unfortunately, the first two were Lawrence Fox and Kevin Spacey, but we'll skip over those ones.
They don't exist.
No, but there was a Patti LuPone got off the stage and grabbed a mobile phone from somebody who'd been texting, which I thought was quite... Nice. I'd be terrified if Patti LuPone came anywhere near me. Somebody got up on the stage during a performance of Hand on God looking for a charger, looking for a phone.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
You're looking for a plug socket to charge their phone. Isn't that... That's absolutely wild.
That is ridiculous.
And James McAvoy shouted at someone for filming during Macbeth, which would have been terrifying. James McAvoy in Macbeth mode, telling somebody off for filming it.
I would understand if his wife had shouted, out, damn spot filmer.
Oh, but, oh, yes, right.
One of the... So the probably the most significant thing that I've seen happen during a concert, actually, rather than a film or a theatre thing, was is when I was a student years ago. I went to see a performance of Mozart's Requiem that a friend was playing the cello in, and I was... I love Mozart's Requiem, it was beautiful, so I was really excited to see it. And as we're watching it, someone started flailing around in the audience, and the people beside them were like, what's going on? And this is clearly slumping to the side. And this person was having a heart attack
during Mozart's Requiem.
And it was like, it was only halfway through, and so there's more like, you know, oh, good long time to go. And it was like, oh no, what on earth do we do? And it's like, surely someone should say to the conductor to stop and we should just all leave respectfully or something. But no, no one did. They kept going. Paramedics came in. We're doing the... It was like, oh my God. It was just... Oh, it was really something. And and the turns out the person was okay. They were very, very grey. But they were, having several heart attacks, poor thing. So,
oh my God.
Not behaviour off stage, but behaviour on stage, or just not being able to do a job on stage. Tales. One of my favourite stories is my friend John and I, when I lived and worked in Hexham in the north of England, he lived in Newcastle. We'd catch up and spend time doing fun things, one of which was to go and see Handel's Messiah at Hexham Abbey at Christmas time. And oh my goodness, it was just amazing, absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure it was Handel's Messiah, but at the end there's this kind of trumpet, kind of high-pitched trumpet bit. And the guy playing the trumpet couldn't pitch the notes.
Oh no. I wouldn't be able to bear it.
Oh, it was... And again, you know, it repeats every 8 bars or whatever, and it was like, oh no, oh no, no, no. And it's all been so beautiful up to that point, and it was amazing. And you could just see the audience's shoulders all going,
up like this.
And the poor guy, I felt so sorry for him. You could see them all packing up at the end. And that was fine. That was grand. He was just on his own with his trumpet case. I was like, oh, you poor thing. The poor, poor soul. But the worst behaviour I've experienced on stage was from myself.
Of course.
I was a victim of it and I had no control over the response.
Yeah, somebody else's problem. Somebody else's fault, wasn't it?
Have I told you this story before?
I don't know, but you certainly haven't told the listeners.
I was on stage in a school.
Yeah.
I think it was Colourcoats or somewhere like that in the north of England. The coast. Sea houses, somewhere like that. I was playing, it was a show in French. And I was playing a character who was standing up a ladder behind an awning, talking over the top of this character's shop to a character who was on stage. My friend Becky, who was dressed as a witch. But yeah, oh yeah, Becky gets named and shamed. She has since changed her married name. But Becky, I could see out the corner of my eye, and I was trying to deliver my lines in the best way I could, as you do, trying to be in the moment, as they say, in the trade. I was looking at my friend Rosa on stage and giving it all to her in the character, and I could see at the corner of my eye, Becky. She put one finger up high, and she made a circling motion, as if to as if to be thrusting it somewhere. And as I was chatting to Rosa, she rammed her finger right up my ring piece. Oh, God, I didn't know what to do. And all I could do was just burst out laughing. And poor Rosa was trying to, you know, I had to give her a cue line to get her off stage. And I just couldn't because Becky had her finger in my arse. So, Rosa, I'm so sorry still to this day. And Becky, there's a reason we haven't spoken in 16 years. Yes, and it was such a dreadful feeling because the kids didn't know, but the head teacher was in the corner watching, and I could just see him just slumping, and I thought, oh God! And it's just, you know, we'd let the company down, but there was nothing I could do. There was a finger in my arsehole on stage.
That
it wasn't fun.
As usual, we've veered drastically off where we were supposed to be and moved into bum-related.
You said it was a topic that made you sad, so I thought maybe try and cheer you up with this.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So far, it hasn't made me sad. It's just made me a bit anxious. Yeah.
You said uncomfortably? Not at all.
No. Have audiences got worse in cinemas, or are we just getting older and more grumpy?
I think, I don't know, it's a different culture since I was a child because there were no phones when I was a child.
Yeah, phones is the big thing, of course.
Yeah, I remember when I lived in Edinburgh and going to the old ABC cinema that was on the corner of Lothian Road and, not Fountain Bridge, the one below that. And I remember that, it was a 1,000-seater kind of space. It was an enormous space. And watching a film in there, and there was kids behind us who were just being absolute dicks. And we were, students in our early 19 or something like that, 20, and just turn around like, will you guys just shut it? No, but I'm not going to shut it. And so just move away from them. With a 1,000-seater, you can do you can do that. So I remember, people have always been up to no good in the cinemas, and that's another tale entirely as well, because there's a certain cinema which we won't mention because it's one of my favourite cinemas ever, but its reputation in one of Glasgow's major cities was of a CD location, and there was CD behaviour that went on in there at certain points. But in terms of like young people or older people, I think we always have this thing looking back at young people to say, oh, how awful they are. And sorry if I'm ranting, but I saw a post on a Facebook page I follow about Glasgow, and it was saying, something about how all young folk nowadays are not respectful of their older people and how awful it is. And I mean, there's so many people liking it, going, oh, that's right. Oh, that's the truth. Oh, that's very true. And I just felt like I've worked with thousands, absolutely thousands of young people for 20 years of my career. I've met one or two arseholes. And then you just shut them down by positive enforcement. And, you know, I'm the sort of person coming into a workshop or something new where they could show off or do something rude or something nasty. And they mostly respond really well to, like, okay, this is not on. Stop that. Okay, sorry. Thank you. And move on. There's one or two who don't. And you say, okay, thanks. Well, this is not for you. If you want to go back to class, thank you. Goodbye. But the vast majority of young folk I've met over my career have been amazing. Absolutely incredible. So I wonder if there is just an attitude of, it's not like when I was young, but, you know, we talked about making spitballs out of tickets and firing them down. Straws when I was wee, and, you know, just, and shouting city fuck every time the CFF logo appeared. Children's Film Foundation, that is, yeah.
I think it is, I think phones is the big thing, actually, because I've had mainly good experiences with young people. They're great, and they're little buggers sometimes, but they're not any more little buggers than we were.
Their adult counterparts, yeah.
You have plenty of trouble with old people during silver screen screenings. But I do generally think audiences may be getting worse, but I'm going to put worse in inverted commas, because you say it's a different culture. People watch things differently now.
Yeah.
And the way that you watch films at home is creeping into the way that people watch films in the cinema. At the Picture House, there's a legendary usher called Mrs. Speed, who was around in the 50s and 60s, I think. And she had a reputation for no nonsense. So I think we might have to sort of adopt a bit of Mrs. Speed. But this was back in the time when no nonsense meant that you could smack a child around the head and send it home. So there are...
The good old... No.
So I think phones, I think that the main reason that people think that audiences are getting worse is because of phones. Emails. I have just sent you an email there, Alistair, to read out, because I'd like your live reactions as you read it. Okay. So this is from Sybil again, who asked us that wonderful question about the intervals / intermissions.
Interval! Dear Ellen and Alistair, given the podcast often ponders what the wonders of excretion, ejection and discharge, I do have a bit's tale for you. In 1994, I was in the audience of Sarah Kane's Blasted. Oh, that cheerful number, God.
Oh, my God.
At the beloved Citizens Theatre in Glasgow. Yeah, that was a massively important production. Gosh, yeah. There are a few plays that have changed the landscape of drama as much as the work of Sarah Kane.
Yeah.
Really, David Harrower, Sarah Kane. So many. I've actually got a collected selection of her plays just sitting at the bottom of my desk there to hand on to.
Extraordinary writer and...
I was in one of her plays once as a student, and I still remember it really well, bits of it. Crave, that was the one I was in. But it was a student production, not the original. In 1994, I was in the audience of Sarah Kane's Blasted at the beloved Citizens Theatre in Glasgow. The production took place in the small, intimate studio auditorium, where seating was simple, tiered benching surrounding the performance space, much in the style of an ancient amphitheatre. About 5 minutes from the end,
This is Alistair's first reading through this email, and he's just got to...
About 5 minutes from the end, the bloke behind me threw up all over me. Who knew fresh spew was so hot? Given that I'd already witnessed full rape, full middle nudity, the gouging out of eyes and the devouring of a dead baby, the spectacle of a howling, heavily pregnant, vomit-drenched woman hurling herself across the acting space clearly struck the audience as just another part of the action. Is it any wonder I love high-backed cinema seats? Keep up the good work. Best regards, Sybil. Thank you, Sybil.
Thank you.
That's another cracker, you poor thing. That's horrible.
Have you ever been vommed on in the theatre?
Well, not in the theatre. I remember once when Col was tiny, tiny wee, he had a lot of milky reflux, was his kind of thing. When he was wee and we'd got him home and we were at my wife's sister's place and we were lying on the spare bed and I picked up Colin and went, "Hello, darling," held him above me and he spewed directly into my mouth.
Oh, God. Mary is going to be freaking out while listening to this. I might have to tell her not Mary. To listen to it. That is horrific.
Hot chunks. So that's the name of this episode. Oh, Hot Chunks. God.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Sybil.
Right. We should wind down. We should go.
On that bombshell.
We should just leave at this point. if you'd like to get in touch with stories similar but not too similar to that, please email downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com.
And we can be found on all your major social media platforms.
At Down the Back of the Seats. See you next week.
Thanks so much for listening. Cheers.